Blog Talk Radio.
And Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Mikey, this transmission is coming live from
Indianapolis,
Indiana. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Kind of get a little delay there. Go ahead.
I'm hearing the same thing. A little bit of delay on Blog Talk Radio tonight.
We're going to try to get through that a little bit.
Let's see if we can clear it up. Is that a little bit better?
That's much better.
All right, we've got, Blog Talk's funny like that. You'll come in, you'll get ready for your show, they won't send you any email, then all of a sudden the switchboard is different, there's a new way to connect. It's just that's the way it goes. Look, we do want to pay tribute, all honor, all prayers, all respect, much love to the city of Boston, the cities of Waco and Boston, both. Tragedies, both. It seems like the Boston story is obviously getting a little more media attention right now, and it sounds like they've got the guy, or at least who they tell us is the guy, who they think is the guy. But that song, man, that should be a trivia question in its own right. Matter of fact, we're going to give away a premium subscription to Dynasty League Football for the first person in the chat room who can tell us the name and the artist of that song. I'll be looking for it in the chat room. Mike, this is Red vs. Blue. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Scott. You know, it's been kind of a different week, just watching everything that's happened with society and with what's going on. But we just continue to move forward, and that's what we got to do, and that's what everybody wants us to do, and doing good, man.
Well, it's good to hear from you. This is the Red vs. Blue Friday Night Football Show. A special guest tonight, Jules McClain, a fantasy freaking football mic. Very honored to hear from Jules tonight. I just love hearing her talk. Love picking her brain about what she thinks in the fantasy season, both redraft and dynasty, even draft match. We'll do it all with Jules tonight. We do have some premium league, premium subscriptions to give away from Dynasty League Football tonight, so that's going to be it. And then Dominic LaFerriere from the Fantasy QB shipping up to Boston. I'm shipping up to Boston is actually the correct answer, but we'll give it to you, man. I'm shipping up to Boston, the Dropkick Murphys. Everybody knows that song from a certain movie. There's a certain movie that I'm shipping up to Boston made, it was kind of the flagship song on that movie, Mike. Do you know which movie I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Hey. Yeah, Michael Bronte in the chat room. He's the first one to nail it. Invictus Standard, The Departed. That's right. Great movie, great flick. Been a long time since I've seen that. Mike, this is the, again, the Red vs. Blue Show. 347-324-5404 is the number. Jules McClain will be joining us. We are streaming live from our Indianapolis studios. This show brought to you by Rockstar Recovery, energy plus hydration, only 10 calories per serving. That's tonight, Mike. And I tell you, this new thing is working out really well for us. If you remember our sponsor from a couple of weeks ago, B2 Sigs, Your Life version 2.0, upgrade to smoke-free vapor. It's working out for me, Mike. I'm definitely cutting back, and that's a big deal.
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, it makes a big difference in everyone. My father passed away from emphysema, and I encourage anyone and everyone to cut back and cut off.
I do have some draft slots we're going to announce tonight for the first ever Dynasty World Championship, Dynasty Football World Championship. We have 120 of those spots we're going to release tonight. We have two more leagues to go, but we are going to release those tonight, and that will be a very coveted part of the show tonight. We're going to kind of stream those in throughout the evening. As we talk to Jules and interact, Mike, we're going to get right to it, though, with the news that you can't afford to lose here. There's a lot of goings-on and happenings in the NFL. You've got Terrell Owens saying that he wants to make his comeback to the Bears now. Is this going to happen for Terrell Owens, yes or no?
No. I mean, why would you think any different? I mean Terrell Owens, he's tried different stuff and different angles. I'm not going to buy it. I know it's not a buy and sell segment of the show, but there's no way I'm going to take I'm not going to listen to that.
LeSean McCoy news, Chip Kelly's running backs averaged 39 rushes per game final season at Oregon. What do you think that means for McCoy and his counterpart, Bryce Brown? What do you think?
I think LeSean McCoy has a big chance to show himself there. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to have the opportunity with Owens, and Owens is going to give him that opportunity. And McCoy, I mean, I think he'll be just fine. I really see him outshining Bryce Brown with no problem at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, Andy Reid, final season, he handed off to the running backs just 20 times per game. LeSean McCoy is just scraping the surface. Do not sleep on this kid, and especially in a Chip Kelly offense. I don't care. He's going to need the timeshare to stay fresh as he continues to get his wear and tear in the NFL. LeSean McCoy is somebody that is being sleeped on. Watch for him in your dynasty drafts. He should not be slipping. And watch for him in the redraft, Mike. LeSean McCoy is still a guy that has that number one potential because of all those receptions. Another guy that we like this year on Red vs. Blue, Jamal Charles. We feel that people are sleeping on this kid. Are you still with me, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. I just heard a little more feedback there. Look, Jamal Charles is another running back that we feel is a undervalued running back, and the reception count could set his personal best in receptions. That would be big for fantasy purposes. Mike, where do you have LeSean McCoy? Is he in the top five for you, or do you have him more closer to the top 10?
LeSean McCoy, I have him right around the top 10 because there's so many younger guys that, you know, they've improved and they're moving up there, but you know, LeSean McCoy, I mean, he's going to be, right there. It just depends on something that it's going to be a late time decision for me because of his PPR and what he's going to be, what he's going to get done out of the backfield.
Jamaal Charles had 45 receptions in 2010. I look for him to absolutely crush that number with Andy Reid in 2013. I mean, does anybody else believe in any of the backup running backs on the Chiefs? There's not a lot to really scare me, and Jamaal Charles should get a nice workload if he can stay healthy with Alex Smith. I put Jamaal Charles back into my top five. He goes back into the top five along with McCoy. You got to remember the PPR is a definite. Look, we've got a nice chat room tonight. We appreciate you guys being here. We're going to have Gould McClain from FantasyFreakingFootball.com. If you haven't checked out that site, go ahead and go over there right now. We're going to talk to her about what she has going on. And, Mike, what do you got going on this week? A little golf action? Did you enjoy your Masters action, or what happened, man?
Well, you know, I don't have a whole lot going on this weekend because the weather has been so beautiful on Monday through Thursday. And then once Friday hits, then it's cold. So basically, I got a little bit of baseball. I got a whole lot of baseball going on. Doing my fantasy baseball teams. I mean, it's just constant over and over and over again every day, and just having fun with it.
Yeah, man. I tell you, as far as the Masters goes, real quick, I'm not gonna touch on it. I just know that you love golf and. As far as the Masters goes, I'm a kind of a last. I kind of tune in and see what's going on, like throughout Thursday, Friday. I'll look at the scores, see what Tiger's doing, see who's up at the leaderboard. Really, all I care about is what is Tiger doing all right, you know, or is he imploding, or has he got something going on this year? I kind of tune in, and then on Sunday, I kind of enjoy sitting back on Sunday. I take the kids to the park, you know, or do something like that, and then come back. And really sit down and enjoy the Masters for about, you know, a good couple of hours there at the end, man. I just want to see that how they handle that back nine, those leaders in that back nine. I really enjoy that part of it.
Sure, absolutely, man. I've been at that golf course. I've never played it, but I've been at that golf course. I've walked it, and it can be very intimidating and very difficult come Sunday because it just seems like there's an aura about it. There's something different that comes over to these guys. And that's why I really thought Cabrera was going to win because he can handle that. He's just a old school type of, he's just a fat 43-year-old grandfather, and he loves it.
I want to give a shout out to the crew here. One of some of the best minds in the world of high stakes fantasy football are in this chat room every single Friday night. We have kind of a new time going right now, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're thinking about moving this time. I want to get the feedback from the crew. But basically, look, our waivers are going to be going through at the Fantasy Football World Championships, at Roto Bowl, the Dynasty World Championship. They're going to be going through at 9 o'clock on Fridays and Wednesdays. They're going to be going through at 9 o'clock. So why not have the show at 9, be able to talk about the waivers as they're coming in and be able to talk about those, maybe even go a little bit longer. But we feel that that's a pretty good time for us, and so we're thinking about moving to the 9 o'clock time. Plus, it's a little easier. I mean, look, I'm getting older. You're getting older. You're not getting younger, Mike. And, you know, the guests,
help on my buzzer beater, sure.
But I want to give a shout-out to the crew. Lots of big names. Blitzers, Codecracker, Fantasy QB, Hip Paddle, Ground and Pound. We know who that is. Invictus Standard, Nick Z, Phantom Menace, Smokey's Doghouse is in the chat room. She is here, fellas. We did have some big announcements, guys, in the Fantasy Football World Championship this week. There's a lot going on. We're going to talk about the Week 12 5 weeks later in the show. But, look, the FFWC, we announced the league payoff, the biggest in the industry. I don't want to harp on it. You can look at the numbers for yourself. But it's a $12,500 per league payout. It took us a lot of work to get there. And this is a restructuring, so to speak, for the future, for the Fantasy Football World Championships and FF Toolbox. We felt that the prize structure, at least I did, and the team did as well, the prize structure was weighted too heavily in the championship round. And if we're going to grow, and we're going to grow smart, let's move the money when we can now, and while we're young. It's still only our second year. Let's move it to the less risk guaranteed area of the league prizes. That's what the players wanted, and we were able to do it. And then from now on, we don't have to touch those league prizes, guys. We're so far ahead of the competition. I mean, that's what you play for, right? You play to win your league. That's the only thing you really have control over. Everybody wants a lottery ticket. I understand that. You want the lottery ticket to the big prize, and I want you to win it, too. I mean, $150,000, a little bit step down from the $200. There's some other ones out there. The FFPC at $250. You got the NFFC doing their $100 or $150 or whatever they're doing. So it's there's lots of options out there, but we wanted to get the league prizes right, and so we got them right. $10,000 you can win in your league if you dominate. Best record, most points, you automatically get the $10,000 after 13 weeks if you have best record and most points. And that's what's most important in the high-stakes world. Look, I've been playing it for 10 years. You want to be able to make a return on investment in those main event leagues. It's very hard, and I talk to a lot of players, Wayne Ellis and Mike Santos, all the guys that play in a lot of leagues. These guys, it's very hard to make a return on investment in the main event format. And we're not doing this for entertainment value. I mean, there's a couple, you know, a little bit of money for entertainment value, sure. Usually the other drafts give us the entertainment. The main event is kind of the creme de la creme. That's when you get together, you go out to Vegas. Now, this Blog Talk Radio, man, it's got to go. But look, the World Championship, we did a lot of work with it. We're very proud of it. Go check out the numbers. You do the research. Ask any questions you want. We're always here to help you. And, man, we're just pretty pumped, Mike. It's going to be fun. Did I lose Mike?
No, I'm here. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things going on. When's the the draft? I mean, I can't wait for the draft.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be normal time, man. Every year it happens in that opening night game, and it's a big one. Baltimore travels to Denver. I don't know how Denver pulls this off. We're going to bring in Jules McClain to find out because, Jules, I see you in the chat room. I see you in the switchboard. How in the world does Denver get the opening game at home against the world champions? By the way, welcome, Jules McClain.
Thank you. Isn't that a great opening game? I mean, that's a statement game. Denver is going to make a statement. They should welcome that. I'm sure they do. I don't think anybody's complaining in Denver about that game.
What if Flacco is wanting to make the statement? He's the world champ, and he doesn't get to play at home. Doesn't the Super Bowl champs usually get the home game? I mean, there has to be a conflict or something. Is that what I read? The Orioles have a conflict; they couldn't get it settled, or what? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's the Orioles. They wouldn't move their game. I don't know how they're doing. I don't follow baseball anymore. I'm retired from that sport.
Good.
But I don't know if they're in the cellar. That kind of seems silly to not move your game. But you know, they did all right last year. So,
well, welcome back
to
Red vs. Blue. Jules, we love having you on. You're the 44th fantasy player in the world based on the high-stakes global player index. That's a mouthful. Amil Cadillac's been working on that for several years, and it keeps refining it year after year. And it does a pretty good job of reflecting. You know, when you look at it, you see names that at least you recognize, and I think it could still be better. There's always arguments about how you can do it. But look, number 44, I would argue you're closer to 4. But at least it's you're up there, and you're definitely one of the best players in the world, and it's nice to see you up there. So what's going on at Fantasy Freaking Football? Let's tell us all what's going on over there.
Oh, you know, we have a little downtime. I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things. Talked to my tech guy last week. We're going to give the site a little facelift, starting to work on my projections. Going to give a call out to my partner, Garrett, see what we can do for podcast. You know. Just slowly easing into the season.
Oh, I love the way your voice sounds on those podcasts. It comes across so nice and clear. I wish we had that at Blog Talk Radio, but we don't. So you remember Mike, though, right? Have you guys met? Did you guys meet in Vegas this year?
I don't think we met in Vegas, and if we did, I apologize, but I do know Mike.
How you doing, Jules?
I'm doing great. I'm a golf fan, too. I just caught a little bit of it. Were you on Adam Scott or any of the leaders?
Actually, I was rooting for Cabrera, believe it or not.
Okay. I was rooting for the Aussies.
I like the old guy with a big gut.
Oh, no. Hey, no complaint there. But my money was on the Aussies, so I was rooting for them.
Yeah, he did great. Adam Scott, the other one, I mean, either one, I mean, they did great. It was a great tournament.
Did you hear that?
I thought it was a real good one.
Jules, did you hear they asked him to be on The Bachelor and he turned them down?
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, they asked Adam Scott to be on The Bachelor. They thought, you know, because he's not married, but he respectfully declined because he is back with his on-again, off-again girlfriend. So.
Yeah, I'm sure she was calling the minute that he sunk that putt.
Jerry P on the phone right away going, well, let me rethink this.
Right, honey.
Yeah. Before we get to the Jules McClain interview here, we are going to release some of the draft picks in the first ever Dynasty Football World Championship. I got the draft picks right here. Aaron helped me. We used a deck of cards. We randomized all the names. If you had multiple teams, you were randomized into separate groups. The 12 teams are as follows. These are the 12 picks. Bill Lester, Dave Osrani, Eric Mauch, Freddie Hall and Garrett McFadden, Curtis Hompkins, Mike E., Nicholas Zappone, Norman Cruz, Patrick Corain, and Tim Connolly. Those are your 12 picks. Jules,
can I say something about your 12 picks just because if people are going, oh, boom, bad. I won a startup dynasty league a couple years ago from the 12 hole, and I took Jimmy Graham first, and that was in a PPR league, not no 1.5 for tight ends. So don't fear the 12 spot, folks.
That's a good lead-in, Jules. I like it. I think there is a little bit of disappointment when people hear 12, but that 13 pick is yours. You're getting two of the top 13,
mm-hmm.
whereas one pick getting two of the top 24. So I do think there's a little bit of overvaluing that goes on with the one pick. So 12 picks, don't despair. Jules just gave you a little hope. I want to talk about that Jimmy Graham. You were always high on it. I always remembered watching your drafts. And, you know, that's what we do in high stakes. We watch what the pros do or what the better players have, you know, that have experienced some success. And when we see somebody draft somebody, like we saw you draft Jimmy Graham, and I think we even saw you draft him higher than that in FFPC format. And we saw you take Jimmy Graham, and everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. What are we got to relook at this kid. She's taking him as the number one tight end, and she's taking him way ahead of running backs and wide receivers. So you saw something in Jimmy Graham, and so talk about that and then maybe what is out there for this year. A lot of people are talking about Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Jordan Cameron. Yes, he is athletic and stuff. The Jimmy Graham is just in a really good system. He has a great quarterback, a very up-tempo offense. You can't really say that about Cleveland. Brandon Whedon, Drew Brees. Come on, there's zero comparison. They're opening the door to kick Brandon Whedon out, by the way. He'll probably have to start by default this year, but no way is he back as the quarterback next year.
Well, who's going to be then, Jules? I mean, if it's not going to be Whedon, I mean, they don't have McCoy. They don't have anybody else. I mean,
they'll draft a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
They're going to draft a quarterback this year?
Oh, yeah.
What quarterback might that be?
I have zero idea. I imagine it'll be a quarterback probably in the second or third round.
Yeah, there you go. EJ Manuel, maybe in the
deep. I love
deep.
Him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes. You know, it is interesting. You just brought up a good point. You're looking at the quarterback when you're evaluating the tight ends. And so I decided to let's take a look at the tight ends and who were throwing them the ball. It was Jason Witten at one, so that's Romo, right?
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez is Matt Ryan. Jimmy Graham, you said, Drew Brees. Keith Miller was up there at number four last year, and that's Ben Roethlisberger. And then you had Rob Gronkowski at fifth, and that's Tom Brady. So, yeah, you're right. It's absolutely elite quarterbacks are powering the elite tight end. Now, number six is interesting because it's Brandon Myers from last year at Oakland.
Yeah, but that makes sense, too, because Carson Palmer is a shell of what he was. So, yeah, he's going to dump down. And he also had wide receivers that couldn't stay healthy. Jacoby Ford not healthy all year. Denarius Moore not healthy all year.
Yeah.
What do you think about Carson Palmer's chances in Arizona?
I don't know about Carson Palmer's chances per se, but I like Larry Fitzgerald a lot. Larry Fitzgerald was one of our busts of the year. We had two of them. Miles Austin was the other one. Larry Fitzgerald. But this year, I actually really like him because Carson Palmer, he just has to get kind of close to Larry Fitzgerald. Fitz will go up and grab it, and he can make the all-important yak, yard after catch.
Yep, the yak. Get the yak done.
I like the yak.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad. When you look at where Larry Fitzgerald is going, he's being drafted currently as the 14th wide receiver off the board. When would we ever think we would see that? As you know, the average draft position has him at 4-7. Can you imagine getting Larry Fitzgerald at 4-7 after the likes of Vincent Jackson and Michael Crabtree? I mean, what? This is really, really strange. But I agree with you. Carson Palmer is going to help him tremendously. I like the other wide receivers there too. I think you're going to see a big development in Michael Floyd. I love Andre Roberts. I think what he'll be able to do is punish those all. And look, the run game is still terrible. Mendenhall, Ryan Williams, that offensive line, it's going to be Carson Palmer to these wide receivers. And then don't sleep on Rob Housley. He could be a little sleeper tight end. So.
I agree. I like Rob Housley, too.
Yeah, special guest is Jules McClain tonight. This is exciting, Jules. We've wanted to have you on here for a while. This is a good time to do it because it's a big crowd tonight for the Dynasty World Championship. So everybody in the chat room, make sure you're checking out Fantasy Freaking Football after the show or during the show right now. Go ahead and check out the site. Great podcast and information that you can sign up to. We want to talk about Ray Rice tonight too, Jules. Ray Rice is a very interesting in an interesting situation because of the emergence of this, what I think is just a dynasty stud waiting to happen in Bernard Pierce. Talk about that situation, anything you have to say about those guys and what you should be doing as a Ray Rice dynasty owner, and perhaps when you're in a redraft and you're getting ready to draft Ray Rice.
I still like Ray Rice. I love the addition of Bernard Pierce because he can lessen Rice's workload. Ray Rice, what is he, 26? He's 26. He's got at least 4 good years left in him. And if you can mix in some Bernard Pierce, plus Ray Rice gets it done in PPR leagues through the air, I don't think it's going to be a full RBBC like some people say. You know, he was the number one running back in 2011. Last year he dropped to the number 6 running back, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. I'll still take Ray Rice.
I totally agree with that, Jules. I mean, Ray Rice is going to be fine. His age, his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield is unbelievable. It's not – his situation and Frank Gore's situation is totally different because it's age and just, different guys waiting in the wings. But I really and truly believe that Ray Rice is going to be – he's going to be there for – 2-3 more years. Now, don't get me wrong here, Bernard Pierce, he's right there and ready, but it's going to be Ray Rice's game.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't fumble. The fumbles in the playoffs were a little disheartening.
Yeah.
So we don't want to see that in the regular season because then he will lose a substantial amount of carries.
Well, and if he starts fumbling, he's going to lose a lot of substantial points to a lot of fantasy owners that want him, if it's first and goal from the 4 or the 3,
Right.
And
why would you give it to him if he's going to fumble?
Right. Exactly.
Very interesting about Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. Ray Rice had 250 carries, averaged 4.4 yards a carry. Bernard Pierce had 108 carries. That's a magic number there, 100, at 4.93, averaging about a half a yard more per carry. Now, that could be situational in game time, And he had some nice runs, but he is a nice back, and people really like what they see in this kid. And I've heard Baltimore writers say that they think this is the future of the Baltimore franchise. And so you're sitting on a back like Ray Rice. That's very hard to say. I'm sure it is because Rice is the franchise, but they're talking about Bernard Pierce having a significant role.
Scott, I'm just going to throw that out there. I mean, I can understand if some of those people are saying that if Ray Rice was 30, 31 years old. But I can't understand those beat writers or whoever you heard that from saying that because, I mean, Ray Rice is a young guy and he's still got a lot left in the tank.
Yeah, he is. He is 26 years old. His average draft position is RB number 8 at the 9 pick. You're getting Ray Rice right now at 9 because of this running back by committee. People are taking Charles and Lynch and Spiller before this guy. And I'll tell you what, I would take LeSean McCoy over Ray Rice right now, but that's another show. We're going to release the 11 picks, so Jules, just hang on for just a second. We're going to release the 11 picks in the Dynasty Football World Championship, another 10 leagues or 10 spots here for the 11 pick. Here we go. Art Richardson, Kirk Webb, Dave Brown, Jason Fosselman, Katie Robbins, some competition tool, Nathan Mizell, Nicholas Pappas, Philip Popo, Stephen Bond, and Todd Ullman. Those are your 11 picks. What do you think about the 11 picks, Jules?
I mean, it's close to number 12. I like the back of the draft.
Yeah.
It doesn't scare me. And I still think you can get, you can go wide receiver. You can go running back. I would probably go, I don't know what I'd do, actually. I need to think it out a little bit more clearly. But I would definitely be a youth movement for me at the back of the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, 11 is that spot. I like 10 and 11 in drafts. I seem to really excel there because what you can do is you can kind of game your guys to the right of you. Because, you're looking at what they need, and you go ahead and take it now, and it kind of snipes them. And because they need a wide receiver, so you need a wide receiver and a running back. Well, you go ahead and take your wide receiver. Using that strategy in the draft that you don't get from the 5 and the 6 and the 4 and the 7, those areas, you have to kind of game it. And then the turn is even a different strategy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and you got to make sure you don't get caught in a, in a run that happens at the front of the draft and then you're left short. It has a lot of nuances, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I still like it.
Jules McClain is our guest tonight, fantasy freaking football and the number 44th player in the world based on the High Stakes Global Player Index. And very likely in a very tight race for the number one female fantasy player in the world. That's pretty cool. Isn't that cool just to say it here? I mean, number one female fantasy player in the world. What does that feel like, man? That's just crazy.
Listen, I take sex out of the equation, so everybody else can talk about female versus male or whatever. I just gauge myself against other fantasy players.
You're a player. You're a player, Jules. It doesn't
matter.
Well,
isn't that the truth? People know that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Where to draft a QB is the next subject for Jules McClain. The quarterback draft, the class is a very deep stock this year in redraft and in dynasty. When you're talking about the ninth quarterback being Russell Wilson, 10th Robert Griffin, 11th Tom Andrew Luck, 12th Tony Romo, 13th Eli Manning, Vic Roth, Flacco, it's so deep this year. So tell me, what do you do with this quarterback position? Because it's obviously falling in value. The first quarterback's not going off the board to the third round, 3-1 at Aaron Rodgers. And the rest of them are all kind of clumped in there together.
It depends on the scoring system. If it's 4 points per passing touchdown, I'm going to wait a couple extra rounds. But if it's 6 points, I might push the pedal in the second or third round.
There's only a couple of guys, that really challenge those passing touchdowns, Rodgers and Brees and Manning and Brady. You want to get one of those guys, right? In a 6 point per touchdown lead, you probably are you're spending an early pick on one.
Absolutely.
In a standard scoring format, are you going out and grabbing a guy like that, or are you waiting like me? I mean, I sit there and wait all day, and Matt Stafford is the 8th quarterback off the board. Russell Wilson at 9, I think either of those guys could be number one this year.
I don't think either of them could be number one. But I still prefer a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning right now. I mean, I'm doing a 12-team, 4 points per passing draft right now, and I got Peyton Manning at the beginning of the 5th round. I thought that was good value. I'm not going to pass that up.
That is good value. Oh,
you also have to understand, the schedule was just released, and we'll go through that here in a bit. But you have to understand what kind of schedule, what kind of defenses are they going to be going up against. Right now, I can see Brees and Manning, but I could also wait and wait and wait for for a guy like Tony Romo or Eli Manning. Eli Manning wouldn't be bad. I mean, let's face it, every year he just seems to put up stats that are unreal.
I want to correct you, though, Jules. I really want you to consider, I'm not correct you. I would like to challenge your research and your study. I want you to get back to me. There's an article over at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Those are our friends for the Dynasty game. and it's an article called WrestleMania. And you were there. You watched it. Yeah, it was right before WrestleMania. It's called WrestleMania. And, look, this kid, what a great first year. We all saw what he could do in his first year. But, you know, after the bye weeks, they had, you know, bye weeks ran until week 11. So when you take all the bye weeks down, you say, okay, best quarterback from weeks 12 to 17, number one quarterback was Cam Newton at 28 points a game. Number two, edging out Drew Brees and Romo and Brady and Rodgers, was Russell Wilson.
What do Cam Newton and Russell Wilson have in common?
Ooh.
I'll tell you. They do it with their legs. How many rushing touchdowns did Russell Wilson have last year? And will he have the same this year with the addition of better receivers?
Hmm. Well, you had one game where he had three touchdowns against the Bills. I remember that.
Oh, you think he's going to do that again in a game? I mean,
no,
if Pete Carroll's smart, he's not going to let his quarterback run that much.
Yeah,
he's got to keep him upright if he wants to get into the playoffs. No Russell Wilson, no playoffs. I'll tell you that much right now.
Boy, he's good, though. He's
I
so
love him.
Good.
I love Russell Wilson, but.
Yep, he's good.
Such great touch on that ball, man. And then now he's got Harbin, and who knows, maybe the emergence of the tight end. Maybe Zach Miller gets an emergence. He started to look good there in the playoffs, remember? I mean, that's
yeah.
A kid that, you know, you might sleep on a Zach Miller, but maybe it just took him a while to kind of get the whole team thing down, and now they're starting
you know,
to.
You it would be fun, Scott. It would be fun to track Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson from the beginning of 2013 for the next 3 years, see what happens. Because I think Russell Wilson, and I mean, he has a ton of ability. It'd be fun, Jules, Scott, just to track and see what happens between Kaepernick and Wilson.
Yeah, Cap versus Wilson for 3 years. I don't know who I put my money on. I actually like them both.
I would love to build my dynasty roster around either one of those guys. So, Jules, if we get that league going, I just remember that. I would take either of those guys. I would build comfortably around either one of them. So
that's good to know, because then I'll take them and snicker them for you.
All right.
Can I pimp that Fantasy Freaking Football? We started one dynasty league, and I hope this isn't stepping on your contest, because your contest is cool. But ours are more like private. I kind of run it private. But we're doing a second dynasty league. Scott's going to be in it. And
that's right.
So if anybody's interested, it's $250 a year, PPR, 12-team. Email me at jules@fantasyfreakingfootball.com, F-R-E-A-K-I-N. No G on that freaking.
That's right. Yeah, man, you're gonna get the best minds in this thing. Oh, man, I might have to. All right.
We already know who you like.
That's right, they do. We're going to release the 10 picks real quick. I got them right here. So everybody in the Dynasty Football World Championship, we should have had a little sound effect or something, you know. The number 10 picks, here you are in the Dynasty Football World Championship, the next Dynasty King or Queen. Andreas Bryson, Brian Harwood, and Russell Walton, the team of Brian Harwood and Russell Walton. Clayton Keown, David Strand, Matthew Austin, Michael Bernard, Norman Cruz shows up again, Paul Turner, Tim Collette, and Wendell Barra. Those are your 10 picks. All right, back to the live interview with Jules McClain. We talked about the QB. We're going to talk about running backs. Who's the top running back on Jules McClain draft board right now? We understand it's going to change, Jules, so you're not really giving us anything away. I mean, it's a long way to September, but if you're drafting right now, if Adrian Peterson is your number one running back, which I'm just assuming he is, he may not be, who's your next best running back after that?
He was my breakout player of the year last year, and I normally don't name a running back as my breakout player, let alone a rookie. I mean, that's stepping out on a limb that's a little flimsy in my book, especially when my reputation's at stake. But he delivered last year, Doug Martin, and he's number two right now in my rankings.
Mm. What a year. 319 carries, 1,400 yards, 4.5 yards per carry, and 50 or 49 receptions. That's the key in the PPR, the high-stakes formats. The kid just does it all, the muscle hamster. Mikey, what about you? Where do you have you got Doug Martin up there? You got him ahead of guys like Foster and Spiller, and you got him that high?
It's going to be very hard to not have him that high. The reason I say that is because going into this year, or going into last year, Freeman was expected to be all that. I mean, Josh Freeman was expected to be the guy, and, you know, it might be a little bit of garbage time, or, you know, Martin was going to be able to do what he needed to do. But as the year went along, it became Martin's team. It became Doug Martin's team, and Josh Freeman kind of took a little bit of a back seat. I mean, you guys got to admit that. I mean, it just became Doug Martin. So I don't see anything changing. I see Doug Martin continuing to be the guy.
Everybody remembers probably where you were the day you watched him roll up 250 yards and four touchdowns on the Raiders, averaging 10 yards per carry. That was just absolutely insane. And
I was on the moon. I was so excited. That's where I was.
Five fantasy points on that day. He either beat you or he won the game for you, and there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't think I saw anybody lose with Doug Martin, and everybody that had him just had a field day. 70-yarder, 67-yarder, like a 50-yarder. It was he's got it all. And I remember that there was a lot of discussion, if you remember last year, Jules, about the top running back. They said it was Trent Richardson, and that was a group of Martin, Wilson, and another guy. You remember who that other guy was?
No, because I'm brain dead right now. Who was that?
Lamar Miller. And now he's going to get his shot. That was all the talk before the draft were, who knows who that next best running back is going to be. And some said it was Lamar Miller. Some said it was Doug Martin. It was kind of an equal split between those three guys. And Lamar Miller was the forgotten man on draft day. And now, all of a sudden, he's supposed to be getting a shot, and they deal away Reggie Bush, and now all of a sudden, Lamar Miller is the talk of Dynasty. People are getting a mint for this kid right now in Dynasty, so he will be very interesting to see where he goes in these drafts coming up. So it'll be interesting to see if he has the goods. So where are we going? Dynasty. All right, we're gonna do more. Okay, let's do them. Dynasty picks. That's it. They tell me to do Dynasty picks. I'm gonna do Dynasty picks. Number nines. Anybody know anything significant about the number nine? What is number nine? Number nine. What is that? Isn't there a movie called Number Nine, Mike? What is it?
Number
is it a
nine.
Song?
Number nine. Jim Harbaugh was number nine, wasn't he? No, that was Jim McMahon.
Is it a song? There's a Beatles? Is it a Clockwork Orange? Is that what it is? Or what? I can't remember. All right. Number nine. Here you go. Betty Brannon. Betty Brannon, Chris Van Saun, Dieter Jansen, Grant Vix, Marcy Christy Franklin, Mike Mattingly and Jeff, Paul Fioret, Robert Stats, Ryan Foley, and Wayne Trombley. Those are your nine picks. All right, Jules, back to the interview with Jules McClain from FantasyFreakingFootball.com. I love that name. It's a good name.
Garrett thought of that.
Did
that wasn't me.
Hey, you're giving props to Garrett. Way to go, Garrett. Who's the sleeper running back? If Doug Martin was your sleeper last year, you panned out, and you don't like the name, and that's okay. We're not going to hold you to it. But if you just had to throw a name out there just to say, you know what, as of April, here's a sleeper running back for you.
That is so hard because we don't even know where they're drafted. If I could just see where the draft was, if you asked me that next Friday and I see where somebody – landed. Well, yeah, by Friday we'd know the second round. It's because it's a matter of opportunity, too. No way was Doug Martin going to be held back by LeGarrette Blount. So, I mean, that was, you know, there was one big clue right there. Jonathan Franklin. Let's give it up to the West Coast guy.
Ooh.
Running back from UCLA. Keep an eye on where he lands.
There's a lot of talk about Jonathan Franklin right now. He's definitely getting a little bit of buzz, you know, for those guys that are owning that four or five pick and they're trying to decide, do you want to take the wide receiver there? Do you want to take, you know, a Tavon Austin or a Cordarrell Patterson? Or do you want to just kind of dig a little deeper on those running backs? And that's going to be an interesting pick. I like that. I like that kid. By the way, Blitzers, my man, Beatles song. That was a trivia question. I was trying to trick you guys. Nobody wanted to answer. Number nine. So, Blitzer, congratulations. A DLF subscription for you, a premium 2013 subscription. Make sure you send your information to scott@fftoolbox.com after the show. Who won the other prize? Early in the show. Who won the other prize? Oh, that was Dominic. Fantasy QB. email me your information, scott@f12lifestyle.com. You guys have both won DLF.com premium subscriptions, and we're going to keep the trivia going here as the show goes on. Jules, let's talk. What's that?
I said, speaking of trivia, I got one ready for you, Scott, whenever you're ready.
Oh, good. Good deal. All right. Jules, who's your top wide receiver? Let's go to wide receivers. After Calvin Johnson, right? Everybody kind of has Calvin number one, right? You do too, right?
Mm-hmm. Calvin.
Calvin. So who's the top wide receiver after Calvin Johnson that you think is up there? There's a lot of big names up there. Green, Julio, Marshall, lots of names up there. But who's your number two?
I wish he had a slightly better quarterback, and I'd be really confident with him. But he is a beast. A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love
yeah,
me
totally
some A.J. Green.
I totally agree, Jules.
He's like Larry Fitzgerald. Just get the ball near him, and he'll go get it.
Let me ask you a question, then. In a dynasty draft, who do you put more value on, A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson? There's a big age difference there.
It's a huge age difference. I think you can take Calvin Johnson and still build around and get some youth in a couple rounds later. So I would still take Calvin Johnson in a dynasty league draft.
What about you, Mike? A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson?
Randall Cobb.
You Kentucky bias, man. Kentucky bias.
No, you asked me. In a dynasty draft, if I'm looking long term, I'm going after this kid, Randall Cobb. Absolutely.
Dude, A.J. Green is 24 years of age. 97 catches last year. Randall Cobb, okay, he's good. 80 catches. But A.J. Green, 97
man, Randall
catches.
Randall Cobb is in a consistent system.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, he's got a good point there. But he still has to contend with, you know, there's a Jordy Nelson there. There's a James Jones there. I mean, there's still some. Ain't nobody fighting A.J. Green for the ball, really.
There's no fault with A.J. Green. I mean, not at all. But if I'm going to build my team around somebody, I'm going to do it with right now. I would probably do it around Randall Cobb or A.J. Green, either one. I mean, they're good.
Yeah. Well, they are both good players. I tend to think that, you know, with what Cobb did, look, he only had 10 rushes last year. I thought they would kind of use him more in those types of roles, but they like kind of like a Percy Harvin, but they didn't. And that's okay. He still gets kind of the Wes Welker action, the short route, the Percy Harvin short route stuff, and he goes up the field. He's averaging 11.9 yards per reception. That's not bad. But when A.J. Green's catching 97 balls and averaging 14 yards, you know, it's kind of hard for him to get in a catapult over A.J. Green. So what about Dez Bryant, Jules? Real quick, before we go, Dez, is it just the mental issues for him? Because if you look at talent alone, I don't think anybody can hold a candle to him.
Now, he is one of the most talented wide receivers. When he came out of college, Garrett actually named him his breakout player of the year. And now that didn't work out, but in his write-up, he said he's the most talented wide receiver to come out of college and hit the NFL since he likened him to Randy Moss. And that's very, very, very close. And unfortunately, they're both head cases. But I love Dez Bryant.
I do, too.
You know what? I got a butt in here. As a Cowboy fan, I love Dez Bryant. I mean, he has all the tools available to him. And, you know, I mean, he's able to have Jason Witten to help him out, you know, being underneath. And so this could be a big year. It's gonna rely on the offensive protection that Romo gets and Romo connecting with Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. The more Jason Witten gets, the more Dez Bryant gets. That's all there is to it.
That's true. I like that, Mike.
Yep.
We're in a little bit of a giveaway theme, so before we get to the 8 picks, Mike, go ahead and give them your trivia because the chat room is kind of excited about these giveaways right now. We've had 2 winners in the chat room already, Blitzers and Fantasy QB. We're looking for a 3rd winner, so everybody get on your keyboards. Everybody get your hands on the keyboards. Okay, ready? First answer in the chat room. You can Google your answer if you want. Well, I don't know, Jules, should they be able to Google their answer or do they got to know it?
Well, no, they're
okay.
Going to have to Google it. And you know, even if we say don't Google it, these guys are going
to
Google it. No offense,
Kent,
but you're going to.
Yeah, they're going to Google it, and that's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, man, and that's just the way it works. But the question is, I guess it's the quickest that Googles. the question is, the Chicago Bears, oh, I can hear them Googling right now. Chicago Bears, their all-time leading quarterback as far as yards passing is who?
All-time total yards career or on that team? On the Bears
on
team?
On that team.
In a season or lifetime?
Career.
In a lifetime. Bears career on that team.
All right, the first answer, Code Cracker, Mike Ditka. The second answer, Brothers Mayhem, Jim Harbaugh. The third answer.
Jim Harbaugh was third.
Code Cracker says Sid Luckman.
He's a winner.
Yeah.
No way, really?
Yep. He's a winner. Guess who's number two?
I don't know.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
No, that's shocking. That should have been the question.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was funny. You know, I thought you were going to come out with this kind of question like this. Okay, what was my favorite number when I was 12? You know, they can't Google that, you know? That's the kind of the trivia that it just
can't. Sid Luckman for the Bears was number one with over 14,000 yards. Jay Cutler is presently two, Jim Harbaugh three, Jim McMahon four, and Eric Kramer, unbelievably,
wow.
Eric Kramer is fifth.
Wow. Congratulations, Code Cracker. Email your info to scott@fftoolbox.com. You've won a prize package. I think these guys enjoy the giveaways. It's kind of fun. All right. Next week, we're going to do a BFD giveaway. So get ready for that if you guys want to come back 9 o'clock Friday night. We're going to do a BFD giveaway. Number eight draft picks are coming up. Here we go. The eight picks for the Dynasty Football World Championship. Drum roll, please. Alex Mills, Chris Hobat, Eric Schneierit, James McGowell, Joe Marchman, Josh Smith, Michael Sanchez, Rick Seidenor, Steve Targonski, and William Sands. Those are your eight picks.
I know Michael Sanchez, Remedial Geeks. Shout
yeah.
out.
There you go. A lot of names. They start to creep in here. I recognize these names as well now from the board and being on the board. And of course, the FF Toolbox brings a new crowd as well, and then Dynasty League Football, they bring their crowd. So it's going to be interesting to see this clash, Jules, between Dynasty players and the redraft high-stakes pros. It's going to be real interesting to see how that shakes out.
I hope the redrafters really do their research. I mean, there's an art to the startup draft.
You know what?
You can get buried in your first draft if you're not
absolutely.
You don't think it through.
Absolutely. That's the whole reason we partner with Dynasty League Football, Jules, because I wanted to give the redrafters, the high-stakes guys and gals, an opportunity to really sink in. I didn't want dead money showing up at the table. I said, look, here's a website chock full of information. They're going to do exclusive articles for you guys every couple of days, and we've been posting them on our site. We've been posting them over there. We post them in the message board. I want them to read up and listen to these shows, listen to shows like yours and Michael Bronte's, and just start to dig in to this world of Dynasty. By the way, if you are playing in the Dynasty Football World Championship, you love the podcast, and you have not yet sent me your info, you want the podcast of Michael Bronte's Dynasty soundtrack, you got to send me the email. We'll get you fired up. Michael will get you signed up for the podcast, possibly as early as Tuesday, next Tuesday night. We've got a list coming over to him, a big data dump tomorrow, so I'm sure he'll be working hard to get you guys access for Tuesday, if possible, at all possible.
Michael,
okay.
Kick Jules down a little free trial. Is he still in the chat room? Come
That's
on,
right.
Michael. Serious, though.
Hey, Jules, right.
I'll pimp him if he just gives me
you.
A little trial. You know,
hey,
my
Jules,
saying, folks,
question.
If it's free, it's for me.
That's right. I like it. Jules McClain from Fantasy Freakin' Football, number 44th player in the world. Who is your sleeper wide receiver? You gave us Doug Martin last year as the sleeper running back. This year you gave us Jonathan Franklin as possible sleeper running back. Still early. You reserve the right to change that. Totally agree with that. Who's the sleeper wide receiver? Are you going to go to a rookie, or are you going to go somebody maybe in a year two, year three breakout?
Well, I don't know if he's such a sleeper. I think maybe this guy's more of a value pick, but I like Kendall Wright in Tennessee.
Ooh.
In PPR leagues.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in a PPR league, you know, you might want to stay clear of Kendall Wright.
Get up with the times. Who doesn't play PPR anymore? Get up with the times.
Oh, my God. So a lot of our listeners do not play PPR, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
Oh, you got to wring their necks, Jules.
Well, you know, a lot of them want to, but it's their commissioners are stuck in the mud.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, I'm just going to stop putting out non-PPR information. Go to another site. Go to another site.
I can't do that. Too many of our folks are non-PPR.
They're dragging you down in the mud, Jules.
Oh, geez.
64 receptions for Kendall Wright. That's not a bad number at all. 64 receptions?
In his rookie year.
Yeah,
with quarterback turbulence.
Yeah, he played at Baylor, right, with RG3. Isn't he that kid that was, like, always catching those balls right at the line of scrimmage and then just taking off?
He's got a good yak, I'll tell you that much. That's why I like him. He'll go over the middle and then, boom, gone. Because they always say, like, stretch the field, stretch the field. Now, he's more like he'll take that. He's not afraid to go over the middle and then go, unlike somebody like DeSean Jackson, who does not like the middle.
No.
Is that right?
I was saying that from day one, but people wouldn't believe me and Garrett.
Yeah.
We talk about it at length because, you know, we're on the West Coast, so we watch a lot of, well, it was Pac-10 then. I don't know what the heck it is. I'm going to still call it Pac-10 no matter what it is.
It is a pack. It's a pack. Dynasty Football World Championship, we're going to get the six picks real quick. Here we go. Six picks. Get your pens out. Ben DeWitt, Brian Moss, Danny Mueller, the team of Danny Mueller and Jeremy Roach. James Burrell, Jeff Keane, Juan Ovale, Mark Salinas, Phil Ault, Tim Stafford, and William Folger. That's your six picks. We're moving right along. Jules, I want to really ask you, look, you've given us Jonathan Franklin, you've given us Kendall Wright. We've been having a lot of fun on the show. We talked about Jimmy Graham, what we saw in him back in the day. We talked about Jordan Cameron. But this is the Dynasty Football World Championship, and give some advice for those Dynasty players that are new to Dynasty. You've got a lot of them in the chat room. Rich McClellan, he signed up, and he's going to be playing Dynasty for the first time. He's been soaking in, trying to get to Dynasty. What's going to be the biggest hurdle for these guys to understand? Is it the trade offers? Is it the art of a trade? What is it exactly?
Okay, I don't know what – if I am a subscriber to Dynasty League football, but I haven't really been on the site too much this year. Because you hit on something very interesting – the trade offers, and there's going to be now in your startup league, people can trade draft picks, correct?
Oh yeah, big part.
And in subsequent years, there's going to be a lot of trading of the rookie/free agent supplemental draft.
Right.
You really need to figure out a value system for these draft picks. I'm not sure if somebody's done an article on Dynasty League Football. Maybe they can. I was just reading today Matt Waldman's, I think it's called Rookie Scouting Portfolio. Do you guys read that?
Love it.
I think it's terrific. But at the end, he has a little value system for like 8, 10, 12, 14 team leagues. And I'm like, this is what people need to know. So if somebody's coming at you, I'll give you the 1.8 and the 3.3 for your 1.2. Guess what, folks? The math doesn't add up. It's not a good trade for you. I mean, if you can't figure that out on your own, because you know, it could be close, not really, but probably a poor example. But you really know the value of your draft picks, because then you're not going to be 2 years from now going, oh, man, I got boned. Because you don't like that. That's why people leave, because they get taken. Leave for various reasons. But I know a lot of people just leave the Dynasty scene because they get taken in trades.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I totally agree with you. And Mike and I are in several Dynasty leagues, and we watch this, and we bounce ideas off each other all the time when we get trade offers, just because it's you see so many people trying to just throw things out there to kind of grab you and see what they can get. And, you know, they're fishing. They're just throwing them out there and see if they can get a bite.
Right, and that's what you're supposed to do. But then you got to go back and forth, you know what I mean? Like, no fault to the person that's lowballing you, but then it's the other owner that needs to come back, and then you get the dialogue going. And by the way, don't just hit, don't cross somebody off because they're lowballing you on the first offer. You know, no one's going to offer you the moon on the first offer. I mean, sometimes that happened. Somebody wanted Ben Tate from me last year. I'm not going to name names. And they were going to give me their 1.8 pick. I said, okay, I took it. And I drafted Andrew Luck. Who has more value, Ben Tate or Andrew Luck?
Yeah, no brainer.
But that's rare when somebody offers somebody like that initially. And here's the other thing about Dynasty, just for people that I knew, don't get stuck on names. People really get stuck on names, especially if they're like a veteran. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy can really help me in the fourth round. Instead of taking somebody like maybe, I'm not saying that you take this guy this high, but maybe like a Reuben Randall or a Michael Floyd. I mean, you don't want to take him that high maybe, but don't get stuck. You're building a dynasty.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jules, I mean, I am the worst at being stuck on names and not build my team. I mean, I'm the worst dynasty player in the world.
Can I be in your league? You want to play in our league, Mike?
Yeah, maybe I should. I don't know. I mean, it's incredible how bad I get. But, I'm starting to – I've got in one league that I'm really rebuilding and having some fun rebuilding that team. So,
Mike, you know what you need? You need like an auto – you need like a programmed feature that you can shut off your access to trades between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. That way, any night that you look at you go in and you sit down at your computer and you're looking at the computer and it's 2 a.m. and you try to look at your trades, there's no way you can accept it. You'll hit accept and it'll be like, nope, not going to let you, Mike. Go to bed, Mike. You keep clicking and it just keeps giving you messages. It's like,
don't do it.
You would be well served for that, my friend. This is the Red vs. Blue Show. I'm Scott Atkins, co-host Michael Trend. This is Jules McClain as a special guest. And we are talking about the Dynasty Football World Championship. We're going to go ahead and unleash the five picks now. Number five alive. One of my favorite movies of all time, Short Circuit, back when I was a kid. It's not as fun now when you watch it, but it was good when I was a kid. Number five, you ready? Here we go. Andrew Wheel. Danny Mueller again. Dominic LaFerriere, winner on tonight's show. Heath Duncan and Danny Mueller. Joe Urban. Luke Brubaker. Michael Bronte, there he is. Paul Maley. Ronald Stevenson. And the star of last week's show, Vincent Farah. There's a five picks. Lots of names I recognize in the five picks.
Sammy.
Jules, you brought up something about Dynasty and redrafters trying to understand what to do. I gave them a golden rule. The last couple of weeks we talked about it. I said, if it's your first year, I forbid you from trading away your first-round rookie pick because everybody's going to want it. Everybody and their mother's going to want your first-round rookie pick, and I don't care. It's just a nice general rule of thumb if you're a rookie. And it's a dynasty to not trade it because you will regret it.
Listen, I wouldn't either. I'll tell you, I think I'm a very good player. I don't know if I'm a very good dynasty player, but I think I can hold my own in redraft leagues. And the very first dynasty league I played in, I finished, I think, probably 10 or 11, 12. I can't remember. But that's a pretty valuable rookie pick the next year. So, don't trade it away. That's a top three rookie pick. Don't trade it away. You're not as clever as you think you are. I certainly wasn't.
That's right. Yeah, you're trying to find a way to win now because you do end up, while you're on the clock, you start to talk to yourself and you start to say things like, I got to win now. And you know what? If I can just get one cash out of the way, I'll rebuild the next 3 years. And then that's the things you should really start saying to yourself, and that really hurts you because – something happens, key injuries happen, and you don't win this year, and then you're stuck. And that that three pick that you traded away ends up being your Doug Martin or your A.J. Green or your Julio Jones.
Or your RG3 that, will carry you.
Yeah, no.
You got to be very careful. And you brought up one thing, Jules, that you also said, know what your values of are your picks. And there's all kinds of stuff. And I saw Jason just posted something in the chat room for everybody. That's great, the rookie trade value chart. Here's what I do. If you go on the web and if you go to Dynasty League Football, you'll find an ADP of your dynasty. Go ahead and print that sucker out and have it there to draft at all times. So when somebody says, I'll give you the 1-1 and the 1-12 or the and the 2-12 or the this and the that, you can go and look and put names to numbers. Put a name to the number. It's the easiest thing. Just keep it to your side and say, okay, basically what he's saying is he would give me Doug Martin and Randall Cobb if I give him Brandon Marshall and okay. It's the easiest thing in the world for me to do is just have the names there. Print out an ADP right beside you, and you're going to be fine. That's all you really need.
That's a good point, because even if you're not on, say, a Brandon Marshall or something, you know, look at the players around him and say, okay, well, that caliber of player.
Exactly, exactly. The tier, yeah, that tier. That's key. Okay, let's do the number four. So we've got four more to go here. The four picks in the draft. What is the four pick now? If we pull up a Dynasty ADP, we go to DynastyLeagueFootball.com. We're going to go there right now. We're going to go to ADP. Here we go. The top four picks overall. Calvin Johnson, 1. Trent Richardson, 2. Doug Martin, 3. A.J. Green, 4. You're getting a pretty nice piece here if you can get a four pick. A.J. Green, Doug Martin, Trent Richardson, or Calvin Johnson. You've basically guaranteed yourself one of those four guys if you like them. You may like
if you like them, there you go. I think someone's going to be disappointed with one of those names, but I won't say which.
Ooh, you're going to have to stay on after the show. I wouldn't be disappointed with any of those names at all, except for maybe the injury risk with Trent Richardson, but I would be willing to take it, I think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I throw a Julio Jones up there and a Dez Bryant, not that high because of the head case issues, but I like C.J. Spiller. Those are some names, but that's a really good top four this year. Matter of fact, you could give me four. Any of the top four I feel like are all the same. 1 through 4, I feel pretty good. So here we go. Top four. Here we go. Brian Harwood, Dan Kunza, David Rutley, Ian Finnemore, Jim Perrone, Foursport, Kevin Maitzke, Nicholas Pappas, Robert DeKnip, Sean O'Donnell, and Vincent Brunetti. Those are your four picks. Four picks. We're down to the top three picks overall in the Dynasty Football World Championship. This is fun. It's getting exciting. Jules, rookies. It is a big part, and every year, just like you named Doug Martin, what's your take on the rookie situation? If you have the 1-1 pick and somebody is saying, hey, I'll give you the 1-1 pick and I'll give you a Josh Gordon, and all you need to do is give me your Demaryius Thomas, what would you do? You're getting the 1-1 and a flyer upside wide receiver for a stable, steady, young stud buck in Demaryius Thomas. What would you do?
Well, I'm keeping my 1-1. What's the trade? I want my 1-1. I don't want
okay.
Demaryius Thomas.
It was 1-1 and Gordon for Demaryius
no.
Thomas.
No, I keep them. You got to bring it if you want my 1-1.
So who is your 1-1 this year? Who's your top rookie?
Pretty odd. It's Eddie Lacy. I don't know who else it would be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think this guy is going to be a starter, 20-carry kind of guy in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, his only problem is injury, but, you know, you got to throw darts. You're
yeah.
not going to get around. I was very high on Ryan Matthews and took him in a couple dynasties, and we know how that worked out.
Mike, I'm going to ask you, buddy, before I ask Jules, if you have the 1-1 rookie pick, would you rather he end up in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform, or if you have the 1-1, would you rather see him go to somebody like, say, somebody like a St. Louis Rams, Pittsburgh or St. Louis? Where would you rather see him end up?
I would rather see him in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, St. Louis, they're more or less predicated, their whole offensive system is predicated by the pass. I would rather be on Pittsburgh, no doubt.
What about you, Jules?
Oh, I completely disagree. I want him on Jeff Fisher's team.
Mm-hmm.
And playing indoors. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Get going, Eddie Lacy, even though you're not a fast, you know, little guy, but, yeah.
Yeah, Steven Jackson was obviously obviously a powerhouse for that team for years. So
look at what Chris Johnson did under Jeff Fisher.
Ooh, good point.
Eddie Lacy can catch the ball.
White Raiders in the chat room says, I would take Demaryius Thomas all day in that trade. Very interesting. Garrett's a very smart dynasty player. It's very interesting to get another counter opinion there. Jules, do you have any trivia for these guys? Because there's still 24, 25 of them in the chat room here. You got any trivia to throw their way?
Well, I just know movie trivia. So I don't know if you all want to do movie trivia, but.
Absolutely. What kind of movie trivia?
Well, you know, I was with my boss, Quentin, the other day, and he dropped a little nugget on me that I didn't know about. So get your Google search engines ready. Jack Nicholson won an Oscar for his role in Terms of Endearment, which was written and directed by James Brooks. But who did James Brooks originally write that role for? Jack Nicholson wasn't his first choice.
Whoa, that's going to take a while. I will tell you the answers as they come. Well, are you in the chat room, Jules?
I am in the chat room. Let me walk over to it. Sometimes if I'm on it, I get distracted and then I don't make any sense, but I probably don't make any sense anyway.
Jason Duvall just answered Mel Brooks.
No, it's an actor. Mel Brooks, yes, he's acted, but no, he's more. Jason, I owe you something too. Jason won one of our Draft Street weekly contests last year, and I owe him something.
Tom Cruise.
Nope.
That's going to be a tough one. They're going to have to figure out how to Google that one. There's an art in Googling, you know? I mean,
there is not an art in Googling. You just type it in and it just
Well, how much
up.
Time do we have left in the show? We got plenty of time.
Here we go. We're gonna read the three picks while these guys answer those questions, trivia questions. Number three, three picks overall, Brent Edson, Carl Stilitano. That's money under Mount Vernon there. Dave Osrani, Jared Foote, Kyle Knapp, Mark Roberts, Paul Batts, Ryan O'Rourke, Todd Ullman, and Travis Dunlap.
Look at old River Dog.
If you haven't heard, that is River Dog, absolutely. If you haven't heard your name, you have a top two pick coming up. Pretty cool. What kind of answers do we have in the chat room now, Jules?
John Lithgow, Mel Gibson. Nope. I mean, it shouldn't be easy, right? It can't be easy.
It's Terms of Endearment. You're looking for James Brooks, who he wrote the role for originally, even though Jack Nicholson ended up starring in the role. Who did he write the role for originally? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Brothers Mayhem, we are the worst Google cheaters ever.
I'll give a hint in about 5 minutes. Maybe I'll give a hint if they haven't given it. Robert Duvall, that's
a
good guess. But that's
quick
not it.
My phone goes dead.
Codecracker says, smack Mike about Googling. There is definitely a skill in Googling, Mike. As a matter of fact, we do this all the time. It's like, go. And we try to see who can do it the fastest because, you know, there's a skill in figuring out how to ask the question and how to search for it. Because you can sit there all day and not get it. There's actually a professional service out there that will Google things for you for a fee.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good idea, right? All right. Alec Baldwin was just cast.
No. No.
Oh, no.
All right, Jules.
No.
I'll wait for an answer to this question. I want to bring up this this crazy NFL. They do it to us again. They throw another twist. One year it was Wednesday. They said, hey, we're going to kick the season off on a Wednesday. And we're like, really? Now this year they put another twist that doesn't really mean a lot to most average NFL fans, and most average fantasy fans aren't even talking about it and don't even know about it, but the diehards do. And the NFL announced that week 12 there will be bye weeks in the NFL on some significant teams as well, Cincinnati, Seattle, Philadelphia, and somebody else.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah. So you're talking about guys like C.J. Spiller and A.J. Green and LeSean
Russell Wilson, your boy.
Marshawn Lynch, yeah, Russell Wilson, all these guys will be on bye when it comes time for you to make your money. To me, that means that's almost like drafting Darren McFadden because he's the guy that gets you there, but then he's never there when you need him in the money round. It's very difficult to throw that kind of a twist to things. What is your take on this?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I don't want players, especially my studs, on a bye week in week 12 if we're doing playoffs. If it's a regular season, then, okay, no big deal.
Well,
I mean, if I have a preference, you know, you want a level playing field.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that what we're all trying to get, a level playing field?
So what do you do, though, if that's the rules going in? Obviously, you're saying you're advocating a change, but if the change wasn't there, what do you do with a guy like C.J. Spiller? What do you do? You were going to take him five, but now where do you take him?
You still take him five. I don't pay attention to bye weeks.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not going to get so my panties out of a little bunch in that, but I don't like it.
Yeah. Well,
you like it.
I mean, go
ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the way I look at it is, I mean, it's a level playing field to begin with. I mean, you know what you got. You know what you got to go against. You know, if you have Buffalo, Cincy, Philly, Seattle, any of those guys in week 12, then so be it. If you want to draft them, then so be it. The other guys or gals, they have the exact opportunity to do the same thing. So just go with it.
Well, look, I've been a longtime player in the FFPC for the entire 5 years, and I will be again, obviously, if they feel like it's not too much of a big deal for them. But look, I would be posting about it if I could. I think it's a no-brainer. You change it. You go to a system because it's no big deal now. But here's the bottom line, and I'm just going to use my open mic that I have because this is what I do, and I've always done it. This is the show. This is Red versus Blue. I talk about NFFC, FFPC. I talk about them all. I don't care. You've got four teams in your playoffs, right? And there's a definite question that is asked of all those teams. You either have people on bye weeks or you don't, right? It's either a yes or no question. For those guys that don't have bye weeks, so now you've got this group of players here. These guys that have bye weeks, they're either going to win or they're going to lose. There's a certain population of them that are going to lose that bye week. And those players, when that happens, it's going to be a very negative experience for them. And that's what you try to – it's not the loss that's going to upset them, right? I mean, the loss is going to upset them. But what's going to be at the root of it is it was my best player that I had out on bye that this could have been prevented. I had the best team all year, and it comes time to the money week, and I can't use it. He got me here. I'm going to be asked to do something a little bit more than everybody else, and it's find a replacement capable of being able to fill those shoes when everybody else is at full strength. And it's the NFL's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. It's the NFL's fault for doing it. That's why I think you have to adjust. That's why we don't play week 17 games, because in week 17, they sit. Otherwise, we would just play week 17 games all the time and play it the entire season. That's the whole reason we don't do that. So I would make a change. If I would, I would do it, and I would just get it out of the way and rip the Band-Aid and be done. But,
I think it's hard, though, in the case of maybe the FFPC to change your rules right now when you've already taken deposit money and they've announced here's our 2013 rules. I'm not so sure that you can change the rules right now. I think you can listen and say, you know, we're going to strongly consider it for next year. I'm not 100% sure it's the best idea to change them right now, even though I'd like it changed.
Yeah.
But I'm not, from a business aspect, I don't know.
Yeah, you could send them an email and say, hey, we will refund your money, and we're going to change the rules. Or if you want us to keep your money, you are accepting the new rule as is. We're doing it for you. Just be done with it. Just go through the 300 or 400 teams, whatever you got, and just do it. I just get it out of the way. I just think it's the right move. But anyway, that's just me. I don't know. I think it's a very difficult situation to have your money week. And look, we play to win these leagues. That's what you do. You play to win the league. You got to win your league. Number two picks. Here we go. Two picks. Here we go. Aaron Waxwheeler, Cheryl Eldred, Chris Hovak, Christopher Hart, Greg Dietzler, Jason Duvall, both in the chairman. Jeremy Roach, Joe Marchman, Robert Stats, and Steven Atkinson. Those are your two picks in the Dynasty Football World Championship. And so I guess the drama is gone. We can go ahead and read the ones. Because if you haven't heard your name, maybe you were you exited stage left at the wrong time. Maybe you missed it, but here we go. Number one picks, Andrew Miller, Craig Campbell, Don Thompson, Eric Vaughn, Justin Davis, Kyle Knapp, Michael Brown, Norman Cruz, Stuart Gordon, and Kyle Stein. So there you go. That's the first batch of the Dynasty Football World Championship draft slot, so you guys can get ready and get started to prepare for your draft slot. Jules, thank you so much for being on Red vs. Blue. It's so much fun having you. I can't wait to see you again. If you look on the show, I found a picture that we took over at the FFPC. I don't know, was that last year? I think it was last year.
I did see that. I'm like, oh, look what Scott pulled out.
Yeah.
With Tommy Yates. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a lot of fun to see you, and obviously we look forward to doing that. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you ever going to make it out to the Kentucky, the Midwest Regional, the week before? Would that be too long of a trip and too hard to pull off for you?
No, I got property back in Tennessee, so it's not a long trip. The problem with it is that my local league drafts that weekend, and it's the league, the Jizzmaster League, how you like that name. That's the very first league that I ever was in. The guys, you know, got me hooked on fantasy football, and I just love that league. So for me to fly out, I would probably have to miss that league, and I won't miss that league.
You gotta stay loyal to your own league, don't you, Jules?
You do, especially when it's your first one, and it's a great group of guys.
Yeah.
And women. One of the guys' moms play, and she's won it something like 3 or 4 times. She's incredible. She kicks my butt. Mama kicks
Good
my
for
butt.
Her. Absolutely.
I keep getting her to try to step up into the high stakes leagues every year. Yeah, I'm going to do it. She hasn't done it. She would kick butt there too, and her son Zach would too.
Well, go to Fantasy Freaking Football. Get your Monster Picks of the Week and the Milk Carton Award. Ian always talks about the Milk Carton Award. He always tells me, we got to get the Milk Carton Award up on Toolbox this year. We got to get the Milk Carton Award. Talk to her about the milk. I'm like, we'll talk to her about the Milk Carton. I like the Milk Carton.
Milk Carton's one of my funnest things to do.
I know. It is. It's fun. It's creative. I love it. I love it. If seen, please email Fantasy Freaking Football. Jules McClain, the 44th player in the world. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Has so much fun, Mike. She's awesome. She's awesome. I love the podcast. I love it. Mike, hey, I appreciate it. You hung in there, buddy. You stood in there for overtime on Red versus Blue, and well, we're out, man. We've got the World Championship starting up. We've got sign-ups going on. We're having teams sign up for 6 teams and 5 teams and 4 teams. That's the record right now, 6 teams. We've got a 6 and a 5.
A lot of good things going on, man. Just keep it rocking, man.
Got to do it, man, 418 teams. All right, Mikey, we will see you next week. And everybody else, thank you for being in the chat room. We've got some trivia. If you did win a prize, wait a minute, Jules. Wait a minute. She left. You're gonna have to give it in the. You're gonna have to give it in the chat room. The answer. I guess nobody took the answer. Jules.
Hey, God bless America.
Absolutely, man. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a great week. And look, go to fftoolbox.com. You can check out all the action on the Fantasy Football World Championship. We appreciate your support, and we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep rocking. Here we go.